We are going to get into the word today. So who is ready for the word? Did you guys bring your Bibles? You guys got your Bibles, right? Okay. So we are going to get in the word. We were going to step into a new section of 1 Corinthians, and we were going to go into 1 Corinthians 4, but don't write that down because we're not moving on. We were going to go into 1 Corinthians 4, but as I was preparing last week, we were doing a staff enrichment for our staff. The first of the year, we take all of our staff through just different things that God is speaking to us for the year. We do trainings. We do all this stuff. And so they were like, you're on. And I'm like, really? Okay. And so I got this message about how God wanted to talk to them about strongholds. And I thought, okay, well, I put the message together and I was literally like, this is my part two of being deceived. And so I spent all day yesterday redoing it for you girls so that it makes sense to you and not staff. And I do believe God has a part two of do not deceive yourself. So we're going to go into the part two of that this week, and then we'll move into a new series on judgment. And how to judge, and who do you judge, and who judges you, and all of that, okay? So you know when people are like, you judge me. Well, maybe you should. And so there are some boundaries for that as Christians, and then there are boundaries that are not yours to cross. So we will learn those in this series, okay? So that'll be the next step of where we go. But before we do, let's go before the Lord in prayer. 1 Corinthians 3, 18 through 23 is what we're going to be reading. Lord, we love you. We just commit these scriptures to you. God, these are your words spoken to us. And so, Spirit of God, I ask that you would speak them loudly and clearly. I pray for a sound mind over every woman in this room. Every foul distraction that would want to come, we bind your works right now in the name of Jesus. I speak peace over their minds, peace over their hearts. And Lord, I pray that they'd be able to receive what it is you have out of your scriptures for us today, God. Lord, heal our hearts, grow our hearts, mature our hearts, strengthen our hearts in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, have your word and your will and your way in us today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. All right, go with me to 1 Corinthians. I actually did not put this in my notes, so I got to turn with you. 1 Corinthians 3. Okay. And it says, and let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. Remember we talked about this? For the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. We talked last week about what craftiness is and how Satan works in these realms. And then again, the Lord says, know the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Remember, futile is like pointless. They don't go anywhere. Therefore, let no one boast of man, but all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the things in this present. Things to come, things that are present and things are to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. So we established last week just some real simple things. We learned, I'm looking at my notes. We learned that we do not deceive ourselves by the craftiness of the ways of the world, right? And so there are crafty schemes and systems of the world. The systems, guys, are broken. We talked about how the medical system is very broken right now. How we could talk about every system that we possibly have to live under. It does not work smoothly. Can I get an amen from anyone? It's horrible. And so the reality is that that's a crafty scheme that we all have to live under in this world. But we are not of this world, girls. We are of the kingdom of God. And so when we live within these systems, we have to be aware of what's happening around us. And so we cannot be deceived by those systems or those ways of the world, but we have to be in tune and in line with what the Spirit of God is speaking us and leading us and guiding us through, right? And then we learned that we don't praise man. So easily to do, right? Like, right now, I'm a Niners fan, okay? And so I'm really excited that they made it barely. And I'm just like excited, right? But I'm not gonna go and praise Purdy and be like, Purdy, oh, no. Purdy has nothing. Only because of Christ does he have what he has, his gifts and talents, right? And so the reality is like we see differently as Christians. You can say somebody's a beautiful singer and they're wonderful, but I'm not gonna go and worship them. Their gift was supposed to be for Christ. Now it's probably for the world, right? But I'm thinking of like someone like Taylor Swift or somebody like that. I know you could have some Swifties in here, but The reality is people worship her. And it's scary, and she's a now known, she has declared herself as a witch. And so we Christians cannot enter into the crafty things of this world, okay? So we talked about that. We can't praise man, but we praise God. Why? Because everything that God has given Jesus, Jesus has given us. Because we are his children. We are his daughters. That is good news. So when I was going into this and we were studying, the Lord brought me to 2 Corinthians. I want you to go there with me now. Because talking about deception. In verse 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5. And it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." Okay? They're not carnal. What does carnal mean? Fleshly. Sometimes we hear these words and we're like, who uses that word carnal? I don't use that word. It's fleshly. It's human, right? It's not. It's the craftiness. It's the systems of this world, right? So we are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. So what is a stronghold? And where does a stronghold come from? Have you ever heard of a stronghold apart from the Bible? Probably not. But a stronghold, we're going to define for you today, because how do you become deceived? The Spirit of God was teaching me, it's easy to be deceived when the strongholds take place. And so in order for them not to be deceived, they need to understand what a stronghold is. A stronghold always starts in the mind. How does that work? Our thoughts, right? Where are we in our thought processes? What things are we believing? What are we seeing and then forming a belief system and then living our lives by? It starts in the mind. It's the battle of our mind. It is what we face. It is the seeds that are planted. It is the things that are spoken over you. It is what Satan throws at you, those fiery darts that he throws. Where do they go? They go to the mind, right? And you start believing these things. They take place. They take room in our lives. They take a place. They overtake our thoughts and our minds, and they become truth to us, to all of us. And these thoughts become belief systems. These belief systems become how we live. And this becomes a stronghold if it's not of God. So a stronghold is the center of opposition in the light of the gospel. It is opposition in light to the gospel. It means that it's going to be opposite of what the Word of God says about what your situation is or who you are or what's happening in your world. A stronghold is an opposition to the light of the gospel. The Aramaic translation, I love how it actually translates this in Aramaic. They translate this word, right? They translate it rebellious castles. And if you think about it, what is a castle? Where's a castle? It's formed in a kingdom, right? I just watched The Crown, and they live in the castle, right? And all of London is around them and surrounding them, right? Because of the queen and the king. They're the United Kingdom. And so what kingdom is being sown into your mind? Is it a rebellious castle, a rebellious kingdom, or is it the kingdom of God? And you see, we are now operating in two different kingdoms. The kingdoms of this world, the craftiness that we talked about last week, or we operate in the kingdom of God, which is his way, his will, his want, his desires. We see things as he sees them. We live according to his word. Okay? And so these two kingdoms are at war. But what happens to our mind, and I'm going to break this down because it can get very confusing, that Satan plants these things into your mind. And you say, well, I don't know. You know, maybe I don't. You're giving Satan too much room. Maybe I am. But there are things that we live by that are lies. And when lies become truth to us, that is a stronghold. Because when we do not live according to what God says or what God thinks, then we are living opposing to him. We are not in the kingdom of God or in the light of God's glory. We are now in the kingdom of darkness. And we're allowing darkness to overtake our minds. This is a battle of the mind. You go, well, that sounds exhausting. It is. Sorry. Give me a second. My throat is... This message has been really hard for me. the demonic attacks have been nuts this week. But I'm going to get it out, whether Satan likes it or not. We live in deception as Christians. We do. We live in deception. We think we're walking in God's ways, but we believe lies that aren't even biblical, that aren't even godly. And yet we think, oh, it's okay because everybody lives like this. Everybody thinks like this. You know, if I was wrong, somebody would tell me, would they? Or would they not? Because they're in deception too. You see, what system are we operating in? And that's where I really want you to think about this, because I'm actually going to jump down to my notes. I'm trying to figure out where I put it. Let's talk about stronghold. A stronghold comes with a lie, okay? So first way that a stronghold comes is through a lie. Why a lie? Because Satan is the father of all lies, right? And so it comes through a lie. What happens once a lie comes in? A spirit of fear comes with it. A spirit of fear is something that we have fear of and we don't trust God in. So when that spirit of fear comes and that lie comes, we're now fighting. Have you ever been there? You're like, oh, why do I feel afraid about this situation or this circumstance? Because Satan is working really hard to take you out. He wants to settle a castle in your mind. He wants to build a foundation of a broken ruin that will lead you down a path you don't want to go. And it will keep you, it will hold you. And today I believe God wants you to rip that rebellious castle out, and he wants to replace it with the kingdom of God and thoughts that are of him and not of fear, not of a lying. When we get in fear, we start taking matters into our own hands and we start looking for things to idolize because we don't trust that God is enough. It's just the reality of it. And when we become in the position where we have now placed idols in our life, the idols can be our children. They can. What does the Bible say? Leave your father, your mother, your brother, your sister for the sake. Leave everything. Are we really there? Right? If God asked you to do that, would you be able to do that? And then here we have, or what about if it's money? Maybe you just constantly are thinking about money. Some might be thinking about money to make, and some might be thinking about money is a worry and a fear all the time. See, money has a stronghold. There's a root of all evil in it. Why? Because it's one way or another. You're either obsessed with it and you make a lot of it, or you're worried about it and you hate the people that do make it. You see, none of it's good. It's fear. It's an idol. It's something that if you're thinking about that more than you're thinking about God and more than you're trusting God, you got to really replace that thought. You got to replace those things. We're going to talk about how to do that. An idol becomes a stronghold. A stronghold can be many different things. It comes in different forms. It could be addictions, drugs, alcoholism. It could be promiscuity. Whatever, you could be sleeping around. I hate that word. Gambling, anger, jealousy, lying, gossip, manipulation. Not us, right, girls? Women aren't good at manipulation at all. But these could be strongholds. These could be things that you have seen. And I would even go as far as generational curses. That you have seen your grandmothers and your great-grandmothers and your aunties and your mamas and now you and then your daughter. Come on. It's time to rip out some strongholds and say, no, I got to replace this with the things of God. These things aren't healthy for me, for my family, for my children, for our future. God wants us free. He doesn't want us bound by strongholds. Strongholds will rob you. It will rob your time. It will rob everything that you have. It will take from you and it will not replace. It will keep you in a paralyzed position with Christ. You won't be able to go anywhere. In fact, you'll find yourself comfortable and familiar with a stronghold. And when it's gone, you almost don't like the feeling because you've lived with it your whole life. And now God's going, let's get rid of that. That's been a lie you lived by for too long. And now it's time to remove it. And it's time to put my word in place of it. I'm going to teach you how to overcome strongholds. And it's going to be a journey. Guys, this isn't just happen. It's not like an abracadabra magic. But when that thing tries, that lie tries to come back and tell you whatever you're going to rip out, because today we're going to get rid of strongholds. But when it tries to come back, you're going to know how to defeat it. And you're going to say, no, not for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. I will not let this be the future of generations behind me. And I will give them the kingdom of God. I will not allow rebellious castles to set their place in my mind. But I will live according to the kingdom of God. I will be a daughter of God. I will serve him and I will run for him. I will run after him. You know, so many times these things come subtly. You could be in a conversation. You could be in a meeting at work. You could be anywhere in a grocery store. And you can hear whatever the enemy wants you to hear, even though the person may not even be saying it. Why? Because there's hurt. Because there's maybe a stronghold of insecurity. Maybe there's a stronghold of whatever it is you're dealing with. You're looking and hearing through that lens now. And even though that person probably didn't say that or even think that, that's where you're living. And the reality is this happened to me. I had a beautiful girl approach me once. Oh, I just love her so much. I was actually blown away. She was having this incredible moment with God, and she was very tender in the moment, and she was crying. And there was all these people around her, and they were being kind of disruptive and kind of insecure, like I thought rude, to where she was, you know, having her special time with the Lord. And they were talking loud, talking about things that had nothing to do with the tenderness of what God was doing in the moment. And I was telling the other people, hey, look at her. Like, can you give her a second? Like, you need to, this is amazing what God's doing. And I walked away thinking nothing went on, right? Thought it was a good learning lesson. I thought I did a good job at trying to help this girl have a moment. Well, she stopped talking to me for a few weeks, and I just couldn't figure it out. And she decided to make a meeting with me, and she made a meeting with me, and she told me, I don't know if I'm right or if this happened, but I want you to know that this is what I'm seeing, and this is what I'm hearing, and this is what, and I was so traumatized on the other end of it, because that's not at all what I was saying or seeing or thinking, but somehow she heard that, and Satan was trying so hard to bring her to a place where she wouldn't love me, and I wouldn't love her, and there would be this wedge between us. Because if she wouldn't have come to talk to me, where would we be, right? And so I said to her, no, oh my goodness, that is horrible that you feel. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that you had to live this way. That's crazy. I don't think that at all. I think you're amazing. I think you're wonderful. Like, I actually was defending you. Like, and we laughed and we loved each other. And she was just like, I'm so glad I came to talk to you. I'm like, I'm so glad you came to talk to me. Because now there's no wedge between us. And see, the Bible tells us to take a hold of these things. But she was being moved by the Spirit to come and talk to me. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful she heard the voice of God and she did what God said to do. And that Satan did not end up having that moment, right? Or even the future of our relationship. What has God tried to get us to do or put us in a position of helping out a situation? And yet we're like, no, no. Because see, the stronghold's going to go, that's not true. They really meant that. Da, 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 da. And I had to fight this week myself. Some things went down and I was like fighting in my head, like they did this on purpose. Da, da, da. Like, and I had no, Jess, no, you don't know the intent of their heart. Until you go talk to them, you can't say that. And I was so grateful. The Holy Spirit was like stopping me from making my judgments and then cutting people off before, you know, it happened. And so the reality is, we all can get caught in this very, very easily. And that's why we have to be in our word every day. This is why, Christians, we have to be praying every day. This is not just like a sometimes thing. This has to be a lifestyle for us so that when we get into those moments, the Holy Spirit can get our attention, arrest our attention, and he can help us pull those things out. Do you see this lie coming at you? That's going to take ground. You need to pull that out and you need to remove it. And you will not have to live by it any longer. I love the word of God. It says, Romans 12, 17, it says, and I'm going to use the New Passion Translation because I just love the way it said it. It said, never hold a grudge. It's Romans 12, 17 through 21. Never hold a grudge or try to get even, but plan your life around the noblest way to benefit others. Do your best to live as everybody's friend. Beloved, don't be obsessed with taking revenge. But leave that to God's righteous judgment. For the scripture says, vengeance is mine and I will repay, says the Lord. And if your enemy is hungry, buy him lunch. Win him over with kindness, for your surprising generosity will awaken his conscience. And God will reward you with a favor. And never let evil defeat you, but defeat evil with good. We're going to overcome these strongholds with the goodness of God. And that evil that has tried to set ground in our lives, in our minds, in the battlefield of our mind, is not going to be allowed to take place any longer after today. I believe there's freedom in this house from this, and I believe that God wants to do something. So then how do I make sure that these strongholds don't overtake me and that these rebellious castles don't form ground in my life? And I love in 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says, the pulling down of strongholds. The pulling down, that means that we have the power to pull down, to rip out, to remove. So how do I pull down a stronghold? Number one, you ready? God's word is our first tool. God's word is our first tool. This is powerful. When we use the word of God in our lives, it begins to release power over a situation that you did not have power over. Because in our flesh and in our own ability, we don't have the strength to carry on. But when we begin to use the word of God and we begin to see God's word, it becomes a mirror to us. I was just reading, I'm reading in Leviticus. I actually had to go over to my parents' house yesterday for some counseling because I'm reading in Leviticus and I'm like, I am horrible. I don't think I'm good enough. Like, how do I get in a pulpit? They were just like, okay, yes, but let's walk you through this. And, you know, because the word can be so convicting at times that you read it and you're like, oh, I gotta fix that in my heart. Because have you ever read and you're like, ooh, I actually don't agree with that, and that's not good. Like, you know, and that is a good place to be, though, because when you recognize, oh, I'm different than what the word is saying, then I'm wrong and the word is right. And so I've got to line myself up with what the word is asking and requiring of me, not what I feel or what I think, right? Because what I think could become a stronghold and could be a lie, so I can't trust that. I got to trust what the word says. I can trust the word. I can trust what God's word says, but I can't always trust my thought process and myself, right? Because remember, we are carnal, but by the pulling down of strongholds, we do not fight what we fight in the flesh. We fight it in the spirit, but it starts in the mind. Hebrews 4:11, I love this verse. It says, so let us do our best to enter that rest. Did you know that when you sit in the word of God, it brings a rest to your spirit, man? Like, it just brings a rest. If some of you are having a hard time sleeping at night, pull your Bible out and start reading it. And I promise you, you will either fall asleep with your Bible or you will be edified and your spirit man will be at peace and you will find rest because there's just power in it. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fall. For the word of God is alive and it is powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. The word of God is powerful. And sometimes we live in a world where we're having conversations, especially young people. They don't like one Bible verse, so they just, I don't really agree with that. Or they interpret it their own way. You could even be one of those where you interpret it your own way. Be careful. Be careful because you better read the word of God under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit or you will not understand what the word of God is saying. And if you don't understand, you come see a pastor who does understand. This is what we do for a living. We're actually anointed by God to give you answers and to have an understanding of the things of God. So, that could be a whole soapbox that I have, but I'll leave that there. You need to understand that the word has to be your everything. I think I'm constantly harping on this with you girls, but I don't care. Until I go home to be with Jesus, you better make the word of God your number one possession. If there was a fire in your house, what would you take first? You better take your Bible. Not your computer, not your, food. You better grab your Bible. Because that will be your strength. It will be your resource. When my grandmother was in Alzheimer's, or dementia, I don't know which one, did Grandma Larson, one of them, they're pretty same. I had two grandmas that died, one of one and one of another. But I remember I went to go visit her, and she could not do anything. She couldn't remember anything. She was so happy, though. She was happy. And I'm like, well, maybe it's good she doesn't remember everything, you know? And so we were having a really great time together. And she said to me, I said, Grandma, do you read? And she goes, I can't remember how to read. And I go, oh, would you like me to read you the Bible? And she goes, sure. So I read her some of the Bible. And so then she says, you know, the beautiful thing is I read the Bible my whole life and memorized a lot of it. And I remember that. When I wake up in the morning, it's in my spirit, and I just say it out loud. It was like she had a moment of clarity to tell me that, and I just thought, oh, my gosh. The word is so powerful. It will be there when we need it, even when we don't have control of our flesh. God's word still covers us and helps us and strengthens us. And so some of you that just don't understand how powerful it is, get it in you. You may not even realize how much you're memorizing by reading, but just get it in you. Commit to learning it. Commit to finding a scripture over something you're fighting against. What lies have you been hearing about yourself? What lies have you been hearing about your friends or your family? What lies have you been believing? God will show you what these lies are, but then how do you combat it? Go find a scripture to reverse it. And begin to speak that scripture over that place in your life. Because the word is so powerful. The word is so powerful. I love Jack Hayford. He said this. He's a wonderful minister of God. He says, consider one thing in this world in which you can touch that is a piece of eternity. The only thing that is written is the word of God. Every time we hold the word of God, it is a Bible in our hand and we hold eternity because it's a life force inherent that the word exceeds. Isn't that amazing? That we can hold eternity in our hands. That God gave us this incredible power over these stupid strongholds that want to just tear us down and beat us up. And yet God says, stop it, daughter. I've given you my word. Begin to speak what you need to say over yourself. You know, a lot of strongholds for us girls are insecurities. You know, you like yourself, you don't like yourself. You see yourself one way, everybody sees you a different way. You can think of yourself, oh, I hate myself. I don't fit into this. I don't do this. I can't see anymore. I can't, my hair is short and it's thin and they have thick, curly hair. I don't know. You know, we do this to ourselves. I hear it all the time from every woman I've ever known. And the reality is like, are those strongholds? Yes. I was talking to God about it and he said, because I had to go through this before I'm going to have you guys go through it. But in my journaling, I was like, Lord, reveal to me what are strongholds in my life and in my heart. And one of them was insecurity. I've lived with insecurity my whole life. You're like, you're so confident. Yeah, it's how I combat my insecurity. Because I have to, what did you say about me, God? What does God think about me? What is God? And I have to fight that. That is a stronghold that always tries to take ground. It tried for 2 years when I first said yes to this job to take me out of the pulpit. For 2 years. It was literally constant people saying horrible things about my preaching, about who I am, how I speak, how my voice sounds, how my personality is a certain way. And at some point, I finally got to get with God, and the Lord was like, all of it's lies. I made you. I formed you. I called you. I told you. You're doing what I told you to do. They have now offended me. And I'm like, whoa, they've offended God. So I started praying for them. So, because, see, the reality is I lived in that for 2 years and almost never preached again. My husband would beg me to get in the pulpit. I'd be like, nope, not doing it. Ask someone else. Because I was so berated with what people said about me. But I had to start not caring what carnal human baby Christians were saying about me. And I had to start caring more about what God, the creator of the universe, was saying. So the reality is I'm using this as an example for you. Because what is it you hear all the time in your head that isn't real? Because Satan put it as a lie, and it came, and it's time to rip it out. And it's time to find and love yourself the way God did. Not the way the world says, love yourself. No, the world, weird. The only way to love yourself is to see yourself through the eyes of Christ. they will never really be able to love themselves. It's all narcissism and all of that. But the reality is when we see Christ in us and his love for us, we begin to embrace who we are. And it's okay that you're not perfect. Hey, I have something to tell you. Nobody is. Nobody has it all together. Nobody has everything the way it should be. But the Word of God does. So instead of me going to my thoughts, strongholds, I'm going to go to the Word. And I'm going to find out what the Word says about me. And I'm going to find out that God says that I'm wonderfully and fearfully made. Wow, really, God? Right? Or how about, you know, the voice in the wilderness, you know, and the cry. And I read through the prophets. God, how many do study on prophets? And I just related. I just related to all of them. And I'm sitting there talking to my husband about the whole thing, and he's like, I don't really relate with all of them. And I'm like, that's because you're a teacher. You're gifting as a teacher. Like, and so we start going through the teachers with him. And see, you can find yourself in the Bible because you are there. Because God loved you and thought of you when he was putting it together and manuscripting it. And when he was living on this earth, Jesus knew you and loved you passionately. In fact, remember, he gave his life for you. So when Satan comes with those strongholds coming at you, you use against him the Word of God. And you find out what that scripture is. I love my daughter. She has scriptures all over her room. Then I went into her dorm room. She has scriptures all over her dorm room. And I'm like, Chloe, you fighting a lot right now? She's like, oh, yeah, you know, Mom. And I'm like, good, keep your scriptures posted everywhere. Do what you got to do. You know, and that might be her whole life. Why? Because God has a call on her life. You have a call on your life. What are you doing to combat the enemy's fight against you to stop the call? And see, we got to understand this is bigger than us, guys. This isn't just us as preachers, but you as moms, you as aunties, you as grandmas, you as your professions, you as whatever God has called you to be. Because everyone in the world is watching you. And how are you responding to things that they would respond to? Don't respond like them. Why? Because the Word will lead us and show us how to respond the right way. Number two, how do I overcome strongholds? By the blood of the cross. By the blood of the cross. In Revelation, it talks about, in 12, Revelation 12, it says, then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, it has come at last, salvation and power in the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and our sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before God day and night. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were not afraid to die. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you will live in the heavens, rejoice. But terror will come on the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you in great anger, knowing that he has little time. If you think about this, he has little time. So he's going to sow the seeds of strongholds into our life and try and take us out. But yet, I have the blood of the Lamb as power on my side. As I'm reading in Leviticus, it talks about the old sacrifice, the old way that they had to do things. They would have to get a spotless lamb or a spotless cow or a spotless whatever they were sacrificing for different types of sin. It was very particular. And then they would drain the blood of that animal, and then they would take it and they would sprinkle it around the inner courts of the throne room of the temple. And that blood was to wash away their sin, and it was to bring redemption from it. But then we, the New Testament church, those that said yes to Jesus, he came for all, but who chose him? His blood was shed on a cross for him. He was stripped open, and with every drop, your sins were forgiven. And that blood represents your redemption power working in and through your life. And so when that stronghold wants to come and ruin your day and steal your joy and steal your relationships and steal your life, girls, you remind yourself who you are. I am a woman of the Most High, and the blood of the Lamb of Jesus is something that I can walk in power in. I can use against the enemy. I do not have to put up with this any longer, but I need to take a hold of this. Stronghold, you're not coming back in the name of Jesus. And I plead the blood over my life. I plead the blood over my children. I plead the blood as they put the blood over the doorpost and the angel of death crossed over them. We have the blood of Jesus in our lives. And yet we Christians, we need to take it and use it against the enemy and all that he's bringing against you. He's the accuser. He's coming after you. And I'm here to tell you today, plead the blood. Plead the blood. It's yours to plead. There's freedom in the power of the blood. Thomas Wilcox said, look over your souls daily and ask this question. Where is the blood of Christ to be seen upon my soul? Makes it really personal, huh? What righteousness is it that I stand in and upon to be saved? Every day, when those strongholds come at you, I want you to remember, I'm saved. I said yes to God. He's my Lord. He lives within me. His truth is in me. I can do this. I am saved. I am the righteousness of Christ. I have the victory in Jesus' name. Do you see? All of a sudden, when you begin to stop and tell yourself the truth, Satan has no more power to come and berate you and steal your joy, steal your day, steal your life, steal all of your thought processes. You stop him in his tracks because the blood of Jesus is where it stops. He gave his life so we don't have to continue in it. Number three, how do I overcome strongholds? In the name of Jesus working through you. The name of Jesus, hear me, working through you. Remember 1 Corinthians 3, it said at the very end, you are Christ, and that's Christ is ours. Guys, come on. Sometimes I think we forget who we are. We're walking around as these ambassadors, as people that carry Jesus everywhere we go. And so easily, we can get weary and we can get tired, because I get weary, I get tired. My flesh wants to come out. I'm very human like you are. I have to live this as much as you do. I'm just anointed to preach it to you today. But I'll tell you, I got to live it like you do. And when I begin to put the name of Jesus on things I don't understand, all of a sudden, I don't need an answer. Right? Like so many times we're like, where's God? He's not answering our prayers. It's like, God is always there, and maybe you're pushing him around. Stop trying to get him to do what you want him to do. Put the blood of Jesus on it. Put the name of in Jesus' name, you're covering it. I trust you, God. I can't fix my kid. I trust you, God. I can't fix my jacked up family that thinks weird. I trust you, Jesus. I put the name of Jesus on them. Cover them today, God. I can't fix the financial issues right now, but God, you can. So in the name of Jesus, Lord, go before me, make a way, and show me what I need to adjust. You see, when we put the word of God and the power of Jesus' name in our lives working, major things start happening. So get ready, girls. Matthew 16:14 talks about this. We're going to go all the way through verse 20. It says, still later, he appeared to the 11 disciples. Let me just set this up for you. He died, and many people had seen Jesus. His disciples are boo-hooing and eating and don't believe anyone that he's really alive, okay? So Jesus just likes to show up and show them that he's alive. So still later, he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together, and he rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief. I just love that part because how many times does God rebuke you? I don't know. He rebukes me all the time. So I'm like, oh, well, I'm in good company. Because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he had been raised from the dead. And then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. Are you ready for this? They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven. He sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand, and the disciples went everywhere and they preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they had said in many miraculous signs. So he went and he sat Why? You know, somebody who goes and sits down and rests is not somebody who's worried, thinking that we're going to screw this whole thing up. No. He went and he sat down at the right hand of the Father because he knows he had did his job. He had given us everything we had needed. And he said, if we believe, there are those that do not believe, guys. And they will call themselves Christians and they will twist the word of God and they will say they love God. But those that actually made him the Lord of their lives and changed and turned from sin, then they will not go to hell. They will go to heaven. And then on this earth, they will live under the blessing of the blood and they will have the power of Jesus working on their life. But so many times, oh, Jesus came for everybody. He sure did. But not everybody came and accepted Jesus. And not everybody benefits from Jesus either. If they don't, if they reject him, they live according to how they live. There's ways that God trusts and there's things that God does and God goes out of his way for the lost. But those that reject him, they will see their day. And that's a hard one. That's a hard one. Especially if you have kids that are wayward. But listen, leave your mother, your father, your brother, your sister. You can't make decisions for your family. They have to choose God themselves. Your prayers are powerful, so use the name of Jesus on their behalf when they can't. Stand in the gap for the unsaved. Stand in the gap for the broken and the lost. Stand in the gap and tell them the truth. Stop mouthing, panting. Like, oh my gosh, I just don't want to offend them. Oh my gosh, they're going to hell. You want them to get to hell and be like, why didn't they tell me? No, because strongholds lied to them their whole life here. And yet you knew the truth and you said nothing. It's time to be bold, Christians. It's time to stand for righteousness. It's time to be the mamas again. When you wouldn't let your kid get away with something, remember that? I know that's like not new anymore. Like new moms are like, whatever you want. And the child runs the house. But remember when we were moms and our children didn't run the house? It's time to get back to that. Because God has given us the power of Jesus' name to overcome these things. And we are the ambassadors. He trusts us to go out and to break these strongholds off our kids and point them out. I've had to sit with my kids so many times and be like, listen, this is an anger issue. I remember one kid, you got an anger issue. This is generational. Let's break it. This is a stronghold. We're going to break it. And then, well, it just happens. I don't know how to get rid of it. It just happens. And I'm just like, then I hate myself for being so mad. I'm like, I totally get it. I'm there. I'm that person. And I go, but we've got to use scripture against this. And so that child and me, we speak these scriptures over ourselves because that's just something that does come. Because the anger comes in the right times. I've had to learn my anger is actually good because it pushes things. And I, as a leader, I'm going to need it. So I'm not pushed around. But the reality is I don't need it in the wrong way. And so I've got to use the word and the name of Jesus to overpower that stronghold that could be in my life. You see, and I had to teach my kids that. Our families need us to learn this so that we can teach them. Because guys, if you're not saying it, who is? What are they hearing? The name of Jesus is the only name that is powerful enough to break every demonic power, to wash away every sin, to take away every insecurity, every stronghold that wants to rise above, the name of Jesus has power over it. I love C.H. Spurgeon. I just love reading his stuff. And he's kind of hard to read at times, but I enjoy him. And Spurgeon was quoted as saying, he said, he was so sure of his salvation that he could grab onto a cornstalk and he could swing over fires of hell. I love that. Look into the face of the devil and sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. I mean, just think about that. Can you be that confident in the name of Jesus that you will swing over the fires of hell and be like, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine? You see, we got to get there. We got to know the name of Jesus so intimately that I'm not afraid of the flames of hell, but I understand I have power over that. So when the storms of life come and the winds of trouble and the seas of discomfort, because they will, right? And the emotional agony that we go through, we have to say, like the songwriter wrote, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We dare not trust in the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. You see, church, plead the blood and the name of Jesus over that stronghold and rip it out and don't let it stay. Last but not least, you okay? Last but not least, you got to put your weapons to work every day. Ephesians 6, 13 through 18. I love these scriptures. These are like my life scriptures. In fact, I just preached them at PM and everybody's laughing at me because I put the whole armor on. I'm not putting the armor on today. But I wanted to read this. Actually, I can only see. My glasses are really dumb if you're wondering what I'm doing. I can see you. I can't see you. Now I can see you. But I can't read. So anyways, I'll keep them off. Ephesians 6, 13 through 18, in the Passion, okay? I'm loving the Passion right now because it's just such a beautiful, elegant way of saying things. Because of this, you must wear the armor of God that provides so you're protected as you are confronted, as you confront the slanderer. For you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you and to stand in triumph. Put on holiness as a protective armor that covers your heart. Stand on your feet alert, and then you'll always be ready to share the blessings of peace. In every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield. I love that, a wraparound shield. Did you get, like, I pictured the shield just, like, wrapping around you. Like, maybe like a like, you know, I was thinking like Star Wars, like, you know, not like a shield, but like a force field, right? For it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance, like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. Strongholds. And take the mighty razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God. Pray passionately in the spirit as you are constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. Pray the blessings of God upon all his believers. Whoa, there's a whole lot there. And yet, these are our weapons. Your helmet of salvation, remember we talked about that earlier, remind yourself you're saved. Remind yourself who you are. Your sword of the Spirit that cuts and fights off, your shield of faith, right? Faith, when you hear something that isn't right, you're like, no, I have faith that God is going to come through because I've seen my God do miracles. I've seen him move mountains. I've seen him. He talks about it in the way. He split oceans. He split seas. I mean, come on, they walked on dry ground. Same God that I'm serving. He'll do it for me. He's going to do it for you. Faith will come. You'll have a gift of faith for the times you need it, right? The preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel brings peace into people's lives. You are to bring peace. You're to be a peacemaker as much as depends on you. There will be times, girls, you can't. And people will reject you and not hear you and not want the peace that you're bringing. And you'll have to learn with the Holy Spirit how to work through that. Especially for all the people pleasers out there, that is the worst. But the reality is, you can do it. If they don't want it, let it go. But the reality is that peace comes when we walk in the room. Why? Because we know the word. So if you know your word, you're going to have the peace of God. You're going to bring it everywhere you go, to every corner and chapter of your life. It's going to wrap you. It's going to hug you like bookends. The word is going to be who you are and everywhere you go. You see, your belt of truth, it's the sword of the Spirit, the belt of truth. The truth of God's word is what anchors you. It's what holds your pants up. It's what keeps it all in. That I'm not going to be swayed because I know who I am. I know what this says, not what Satan is telling me, not the lies that are flying at me, not those strongholds, nope. And you know, the reality comes when we just anchor our lives and we use our weapons every day, and it will become so common you won't even realize you're doing it. I will just be at the store and I'll be praying. I was going down the ski slopes. We have ski club here at our school, and so I somehow became a chaperone. I don't know how that happened. And So I'm going down these slopes, and the kids upgraded from the bunny hills, which I was really comfortable with, to the bigger hill, and then it was all ice that night. Okay, like just ice. It was horrible. And so my skis start slipping. You know when you drive your car and your car just kind of drifts off? Your skis do that, and you literally have no control, and you're like, oh my gosh. And so I'm going down, and it's like a bumpy ride, like, and then I have a little girl in front of me that I'm like, I can't lose her. I got to keep my eye on her. And she's like whizzing down this hill, and I'm going, I'm going to die. Like, I'm not as good as her. And then I have some behind me, and so I'm like watching her trying to, like, I'm doing this thing, right? And I see one of them fall behind me. And I'm like, oh, no. Hey, hold on, hold on. I'm trying to get their attention. Hold on, hold on. And so I ended up having to take my skis off, go back up, get ski patrol to come down, take her down. It was a drama. And what was the point of this story? I totally lost it. That really happened, though. Only in women's ministry, right? What was I talking about? My weapons? Oh, yeah. Okay, I remember. Okay, so I'm going down the hill, and I am scared. But I can't tell these kids I'm scared, right? Because they ain't scared. And so I'm going down the hill, and I am praying in tongues. Like, and guys, I ain't just praying little. I'm praying loud. I'm like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm not kidding. These snowboarders are looking at me like, and I'm just like, good, stay away. You smell like pot anyways. And so... It's so true. And so you don't even realize these things are happening. They just will come up out of you. Like, you will be at the store and a crazy person will be chasing you to your car and be like, ah, in the name of Jesus, go away. Like, you know, I mean, seriously, girls, we have that authority. And it will just start coming out of us. But we have to get ourselves into a place where these strongholds no longer keep us in a paralyzed position as Christians. But into the freedom of the kingdom of God that we are so free in and that God has all for us. So let's review for a second, 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This would be a good one to memorize, girls. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So we pull strongholds down by using God's word, by the blood of the cross, by the name of Jesus working through us, and by using our weapons against it every single day. I want to give you a second, and I think I actually have time. I want you guys to just take a moment to yourselves. Okay, if you want to pull your phones out or your journal. And can you just put some soft music on for a second? I'm going to give you about 5 minutes. And I want you just to journal. I want you to ask yourself some questions. I want you to ask this first question. Are there any strongholds in my life that I need to address, that I need to pull out? Maybe I haven't noticed, but God wants to reveal them to you today. Okay, I want you to ask that question. And then I want you to ask the Lord to help you. And then we're going to pray together, and we're going to break it together as a family, okay? Now, I don't have to know what they are. You don't have to know what they are, but we're going to break them, and we're going to do that together as a family, okay? So just spend some time by yourself for a second.